16 players are about to compete in a game of survival for a potential $1 million prize.
I don't really know much about this show yet. What I imagine is like an adult Hunger Games.
They have been dropped off in a remote part of Alaska with only the clothes on their backs and told to await further instructions.
Drop yourself into a remote location and just fend for yourself with people that you don't know about. Sounds like an amazing time to me.
I'm sure there's nothing unusual beneath the surface.
Welcome to Cord Killers, the show about watching the stuff you love when you want, where you want, however you want. I'm Tom Merritt.
Hey, I'm Brian Brushwood. Did you guys ever see the Joe Schmoes show on FX back in the day? 20 plus years ago?
No, what was the Joe Schmoes
show? This
like
would have been,
Joe Millionaires.
Joe Millionaire was one of was part of that crop, and Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? Sure. Like in the early aughts, what's the staying on an island show that
Survivor?
Yeah, Survivor was a big hit. Yeah. They would create a bunch of fake shows, and one of them was called the Joe Schmoes Show, where everybody was in on the gag except for one guy. Sure. It was very very good sociological experiment.
I guess
that's what this is, Bryce?
This one's more in the Survivor tent than that jury duty tent. So this is called Outlast. This is on Netflix. It came out earlier this year. They put 16 people into the Alaskan wilderness, and they're all kind of lone wolf type folks. Mm. They're like self-described solo folks. But to win the $1 million prize, they have to be on a team. And so they have to work together to survive. And
so there's not a single winner. A team will win the $1 million prize.
That's what they said. Like, they have this weird thing of like, there are no rules.
And they each get a million? Or is the team getting?
It's like a potential million. So, it's, you know, they were squirrely about that too. But that's streaming now on Netflix. I think it's fun. It's I got a second season renewed already. And it's
so wait a minute. So the idea is, if I'm reading it right, and this is brand new, right? Like post pandemic, brand new.
Yeah, this is within the past 6 months or so, 3 months.
That's not a bad take, because the idea of like it's not enough to physically go outside. The real challenge is to emotionally re-engage with other humans in real-time conversations and all that stuff.
Yeah, these are more like lifelong survival folks, and you know, I spent
my whole
life.
So these are people who do know how to survive. These are people who say they have skills to survive on their own.
Yeah, and the idea is there's no elimination or voting. You just, when you tap out, you tap out. So I
just like in life,
exactly, Tom. You got it, Tom.
Yeah, I look at this as, let's take a bunch of people who say they don't need anybody else and show them that they really do need anybody else.
Yeah, you know what? That's kind of how they frame it too. So if you want to watch 16 Grinches try to grow their heart three sizes, that's Outlast.
It's brilliant.
All right, let's move on to the primary target. You know, I do need someone else for the primary target. I can't do this alone, because Brian, it's the Wall Street Journal doing the story that I've been doing for the past 3 years on Cord Killers.
I mean, hello, if you're new here, welcome. We've been doing a show about a trend before the trend was a trend, continuing to do it while the trend became a trend, and now continuing to do it after the trend is so apparent that people are now deconstructing the trend. I thought this was quite a good article, actually.
Yeah, it's nicely constructed, and I didn't find any problems with it. So you should definitely pass it around to friends who can get beyond the paywall in the Wall Street Journal and read it. There's nothing bad about it. But for years, literally years now, we have been saying on this show, everybody is spending a lot of money to build up streaming services because they hope to be the one that wins the game. This has been me specifically to people saying there's too many streaming services. Don't worry, they won't all last. No one expects them all to last, but everyone that has started wants to be the one that lasts. So they're spending a lot of money. At some point, they'll have to stop spending the money and start figuring out how to become profitable. And at that point, you'll start to see consolidation. You'll see the streaming services start to fold or combine, et cetera. And more recently, we've been talking about that. We've been talking about the fact that we're starting to see consolidation. We're starting to see them cut back on spending, cancel shows, not greenlight as many shows. And that's what this Wall Street Journal article is about. It says TV's golden era proved costly to streamers. And I pulled out one particular paragraph from it. Investors now care about profitability rather than growth, a change that makes finding new revenue streams and retaining customers critical. We've gone from customer acquisition to customer retention is how I've been saying it. Studios that for years were able to splurge on content to feed viewers' insatiable appetite for new shows and films now must pull back to make the math work.
Did you say math work or
yes.
Make meth work?
No. They didn't talk about meth in the Wall Street Journal article. It's math in this quote.
Okay. So I got to be honest. I actually thought this was a pretty good onboarding point. If you're not familiar with the story that thus far, of everything in this article, the thing that was most surprising to me is that Disney is not doing as great as I was convinced it was going to do, because you had Netflix, in the before time you had cable, and then cable was destined to fall. And then you had Netflix, who emerged as the number one streamer. And when Disney launched, quite conveniently, exactly during a lockdown pandemic, I was convinced that Disney was going to keep on making a lot of money, but it looks like they're pulling back. I'm very surprised by that.
Well, everybody has to pull back now because we've gotten to that point, right? You also should recall, and Wall Street Journal points this out, that we have a writer's strike, which has accelerated the pressure because you're not greenlighting new shows anymore. So that says, well, we need other kinds of cheaper shows, so let's cancel expensive shows and turn to cheaper shows. But that was happening before the writer's strike. Writer's strike is just a complicating factor in this. Disney has had Disney Plus for less time than Netflix. Netflix has been profitable for the past 5 years, 3 years, because Netflix took a long time to build up to that point. I think the only one that surprised me here was Warner Brothers Discovery showing profitability for streaming, but that seems to be only in the last quarter because of the severe cost cutting that Warner Brothers Discovery has been going through.
Yeah, Warner Brothers, first of all, just so I have my head straight on this one, that's everything we're thinking of just basically Max, right?
Yeah, I think for Warner Brothers Discovery, it would be Discovery Plus and Max, yeah. There's a couple other minor streaming services that they run, but the majority of the revenue is coming from those two.
There's a curious relationship between the quality of content and it actually being profitable. We've seen some... If I may speak plainly, and feel free to correct me here, Tom, we've seen some straight up garbage content on Netflix that makes a lot of money because it's very, very cheap, but it's very, very targeted, and it doesn't have to be good. Meanwhile, HBO is a brand that is known for its prestige dramas, and Succession is very good, and same thing with like Apple TV Plus, but they're in a curious place where what they really want you to do is buy gizmos from Apple, and they'll just let you have the service, and then meanwhile you have a shipping service with Amazon Prime that also happens to bring you Lord of the Rings. From the 1,000-foot view to this dumb idiot's mind, it looks an awful lot like Netflix has kept their eyes on the prize on profitability. It looks like Disney tried very hard to ride a wave that ended up being a short-term wave in terms of lockdown. It looks like Amazon Prime vastly overspent on franchises, expecting everybody to, you like the Lords of the Rings, don't you? And ended up paying the price for it.
Also had a little bit of that Apple sauce, get it? Because they included their TV as part of another product where they make the majority of their money, Amazon Prime shipping.
Oh, that's right. Wait. And also on top of that, you have the fact that they sell gizmos, and then you get into Roku stuff and all of that. But I guess the single big takeaway that I'm reading from this article is for a few years, Everybody was chasing quality, hoping to capture mindshare so that they could later turn it into profit. And now we're at the point where the pandemic is over, people are going outside, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're not going to pay us a lot of money to bother to be good. So what say we just walk those budgets back? Does that track?
I would say even without the pandemic, we'd be exactly at the same place. It might be at a different time. We might have had a longer run-up. Maybe we'd had a shorter run-up. I have no idea. But we were going to this place anyway. This is what TV does. The cheap stuff gathers eyeballs. And everybody was going with prestige in customer acquisition. I'm 100% with you there. It wasn't because of the pandemic. It wasn't because of the writer's strike. Those affected the timing. But at a certain point, you have to make money. You have to turn that customer acquisition into customer retention. And that's the point where you start throwing the things that will keep people watching for cheap. Warner Brothers Discovery has done that very well, to the point that they're the first one on this graph from the Wall Street Journal who's in profitability, whereas Netflix is in profitability mostly because they got there earlier because they were doing it longer. They got to their point where they could turn on the profitability faucet before the others. Disney is... had a little bit of a profitability problem in 22, probably pandemic related, but they've been reducing the losses over the past couple of quarters. Comcast has been reducing the loss over the past quarter. It's Paramount Global is the one that I look at, and I'm like, ooh, that graph looks a little flat. It looks like they've just been losing around the same amount of money every month.
Well, and it's such a small part
and
of
again,
the big picture.
I want to remind people, this is just on streaming. If you're like, well, they're also having box office problems and this and that, those are all true, but we're just talking about them losing money on streaming.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's speculate wildly about that one piece of the thing. How fast until they sell off the streaming part of Paramount and fold
it in? Starting gun goes off as soon as Comcast, and I've been saying this one for years, so wait for the Wall Street Journal article on this in a couple of months. Starting gun goes off when Hulu is determined to be all Disney's, or on the off chance Disney sells it to Comcast. But when Comcast's stake in Hulu is done, then Comcast is free to start spending money on something else, which then coincides with the waiting period that Warner Brothers Discovery had to go through while they were, when they got approval for their merger, they had to wait a certain amount of time before they could sell themselves. So as soon as Comcast settles its stake in Hulu, which is probably going to mean they sell it to Disney, they will take that money and they'll start shopping around. And that's when Paramount and Warner Brothers Discovery particularly will become the things you hear about as acquisition targets.
Well, let's play this game. We already know that we kind of have to buckle up for a quality dip as a result of the strike. Is it going to be accelerated because of a pullback of investment? I mean, you can't buy top quality writers and all that stuff. How long is the nuclear winter going to be before we get a golden age of television, the likes of which that we've seen over the last couple of years? I mean, because there has been incredibly high quality content, and the last time we saw an explosion like this was in the early aughts.
Yeah. I honestly, and I mean, no disrespect to the writers or even the actors if they strike as well. I don't consider in the long term the strikes to be having a long-term impact on the quality cycle. They have a very significant short-term impact. With the writer's strike happening right now, we are going to see a dip in quality content because they're not working on quality content right now. But the overall curve, I think, is going to be unchanged, which is as we were heading towards cutbacks and trying to gain profitability, we're going to spend less money on quality content. And so we're going into the trough of, you know, let's put out some quality content, but not nearly as much as before. So I don't know, whenever the next breakthrough comes, you usually see the spike in quality when everyone's racing to dominate a new platform, whatever that platform is. Most recently it was streaming. Whenever we get the new platform is when I'd say we'll start to see people ramping up spending for more quality content. That said, we're still going to get quality content, just not in the large amounts that we've gotten at the past several years.
Yeah, I guess it's worth pointing out that in this particular article, you know, they don't include alternative platforms like, you know, your Twitches, your TikToks, your YouTubes and whatnot.
YouTube, yeah. That is also... That's a bit of a separate conversation, but that is stealing audience from the pot that these other streaming services have to choose from, which the more audience they steal, the smaller the pot, the fewer streamers can are left to consolidate. You're going to have fewer choices.
So if you're going to just, in whatever vector you want to chase, if you wanted to make a couple of predictions that later both you and I can forget about and then have somebody write us at cordkillers@gmail.com and hold us to account on, what are some predictions you're feeling right now, given the state of things?
So I would still say you're going to get loads of rumors about who's going to acquire who the way you have for the past 10 years. Don't pay any attention to them until you hear that Comcast has signed its deal. That's probably going to happen in January because there are some parts of their contract between Comcast and Disney that can make either one of them make it happen in January. So we're probably going to get it then. Then, once you've heard that, pay attention. And my prediction is we are going to see Warner Brothers Discovery as available for a merger, and we're going to see Paramount Global available for a merger. And there might be some random stuff out there, too, that gets gobbled up. Maybe some of the smaller ones like the BritBoxes and the Acorns. Maybe we see kind of a crazy big merger between things that involve more than just the streaming platforms. I then think you will see a consolidation around a cadence. And my prediction is within 2 years, we'll know, okay, you're going to get all the HBO shows you've usually gotten at the regular cadence. Netflix is going to be doing a good show every quarter or something like that. And then we'll know whoever's left. Disney does this. Peacock does that, et cetera, et cetera.
So I'm still very far on the periphery of the Hollywood infrastructure. But even I noticed in the mid-aughts when the writer's strike caused season two of Lost to be terrible. It caused suddenly the quality of Heroes to drop off the map, that kind of thing. Do you think we're going to see that between the fact that we're in a strike and the fact that it looks like people are pulling back from AAA quality golden era of television content?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. We will obviously see some really good shows suffer because of this writer's strike, unless it gets, you know, resolved tomorrow, which doesn't look like it's gonna. It's gonna be like the one where, you know, Lost and other shows suffered. I think you're right.
You know, one thing I'm truly right about? All y'all ain't paying enough. I'm sorry. I've been chill about it for a long time. I'm trying to go all Judy Gemstone here. Trying to be a little bit more Jesse Gemstone about this whole thing. But it's kind of messed up that all y'all are given just $1.36 per episode of this Cord Killers at patreon.com/cordkillers. And yes, you all know you get your own private RSS feed. Yes, you get early access to After Talk or exclusive access to that. And you get early access to Spoiler in Time. But you know, the whole name of the show is about to change. The whole world is about to be flipped upside down. I'm sorry, but it's time for us to officially ask for $1.37 per episode. Head on over to patreon.com/cordkillers. Just $1.37 per episode will make all the difference to keeping us loud, live, and independent.
Brian, you do what you think is right. Let's talk about how to watch. All right, Vietnam will not allow Warner Brothers to show its forthcoming Barbie movie in the country because it shows China's version of the map of the South China Sea. Now, without getting too far into it, China, Vietnam, the Philippines, Taiwan, Malaysia, and Brunei all have a dispute over where the borders are between them in the ocean. There's a bunch of islands in the ocean between all those countries, and there's a dispute over where to draw the line. China uses what is often called a nine-dash line that basically goes down into the China Sea around all the islands, the little tiny islands, and then back up to China. And it says, All of that stuff is ours. Everything on your coastlines is yours. We get all the islands, not you. And they have historical precedents and all this stuff. Everybody else that I mentioned that's not China uses a more complicated line that divides the sea up among them. So a few of the islands are the Philippines, a few are Taiwan's, a few are Malaysia's, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So showing one or the other of those maps is a statement saying, I am being nice to Vietnam by showing the more complicated map, or I am being nice to China by showing the nine dash line where all the islands are theirs. The Philippines is also considering denying Warner Brothers a permit to show the film for the same reason. They showed the nine dash line that China likes. Editing the map to show the non-Chinese version, you might think, well, in Vietnam, just show the other one. Don't show the nine dash line one. That would anger China, even if it's shown outside China, because China says the only map you should show is the nine dash line one. China has approved the film for exhibition. So if you're wondering, like, well, wait, do they even want the Barbie movie? They do. It's approved. It's got the nine dash line. They're all good. If the Barbie movie were to show a different version of the map in Vietnam and the Philippines, China might change its mind and not give it approval. And China has a lot of people who pay to go to movies. You may recall, if this sounds familiar, that Sony's Uncharted with Tom Holland was banned in both countries last year for the same reason, both Vietnam and China. So Barbie is trying to avoid that. It releases internationally on July 19th. There's also a Chinese-made series called Flight to You that was removed from Netflix in Vietnam, again, for having that nine-dash line.
So when I'm thinking of similar categories to this, I believe some of the costuming for Tom Cruise in Top Gun Maverick was changed because he had something that had a flag that somebody didn't want to acknowledge or whatever. This is a real thing, but the question that surprises me is number one, keep in mind, I assume none of us have seen it, and none of us, all we could do is speculate about the whys and the hows or whatever. If we're going to speculate wildly, Tom, why did this make it all the way to distributable final version with nobody noticing this fairly significant with much precedent problem?
I would take issue with nobody noticing. I doubt that it was a surprise when Vietnam pointed it out. It's possible. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I'll give that an 8% chance that it was like, oh, we didn't realize that was there. Sorry. It is in the background of the shot. So it's a possibility that maybe that's why.
And also it appears to be in the context of a very, very silly rendering of the world.
Yeah. So, you know what? As silly as that rendering is, now that I'm looking at it, I'm going to raise that to a 27% chance. But I still think the studios have enough experience with this that somebody noticed. What I'm going to guess happened is somebody noticed it and said, well, usually what we do is we appease China and nobody else cares. As long as that's the nine-dash map, I doubt anyone else is going to raise a stink over it. It's a silly scene. Usually, if China's happy, everybody else just shuts up. Let's go with it. And this is the time when the tensions are rising enough that Vietnam, Philippines, and we may see some of these other countries join in, are going to start going, you know what? No, we're not turning a blind eye. Even if it's a silly map in the background behind Barbie, we're going to raise a fuss. And I think the studios just guessed that they wouldn't raise a fuss, and they did. And so we are in uncharted territory.
Oh my gosh, we literally are, aren't we? So for audio listeners, the map is definitely on purpose meant to look fairly childlike and simplistic. I would bet that the joke that they were aiming for was, what are things you know but don't really know? And so, like, all the proportions are out of whack and everything is squished together in the wrong way. And if you knew that, I don't know, isn't there like a nine-dash line that matters on this coast? Then that's what's being represented. And then I could see somebody higher up the ladder saying, Oh, well, I mean, there's no such thing as bad publicity, is there? Sure. And I think that's where we are right now, if I were to guess.
And certainly, China's market is going to bring in more money than Vietnam's market, or even Vietnam and the Philippines market together. So if you're making that crass calculation, you put the one in that satisfies the bigger market. It is something that's going to increasingly become an issue. I think if they were to do it again, knowing what we know now, they would just leave that dashed line off of there. But you can't do that now. If you're like, well, why don't you just get rid of the scene? Maybe you could get rid of the scene. My guess is the scene, it's hard to get rid of without affecting the movie. Also, if you get rid of the scene, now that everybody's arguing about it, you will be denying the existence of whatever line is in the scene in the place that you're removing it. So you're now taking a stand just by removing the scene and saying that somebody is right. So you got yourself in the pickle now. There's not many moves left, because whatever you do is going to anger somebody, which is probably why they're just going to leave it in and show it in China and not show it in Vietnam. In the future, though, you're probably not going to do this. You're going to say, like, look what happened with Barbie. Let's not go there if we don't have to. But there's going to be movies where you need to show a map. I remember there was an actual Chinese TV series about hacking competitions where they had to show a map that involved Hong Kong, because there were teams from Hong Kong in this series. Hong Kong is part of China at the time that this series is made. You know, it's modern enough. And the way the map showed Hong Kong was wrong. It was not the way China prefers to show Hong Kong. So they had to, like, I remember my wife had watched the entire series, went back, was watching it again because she liked it so much. And she's like, wait, why is this episode 20 minutes shorter? They had just ripped it up. And this was inside of China. So imagine how hard it's going to be if you need to show a map in something to figure out how to show it and still be exhibited in all parts of the world.
Well, and I think the game is going to be, if you're a big enough company that with a big enough distribution reach that you would like the millions or billions of dollars that you'll make in certain markets, then you'll choose to be more bland in your jokes. But meanwhile, for indies, it's like, yeah, no, I don't mind setting fire to the whole potential, you know, dozens of thousands of dollars I might make from international distribution on this. I'd rather have the notoriety of taking a stand on this thing. Yeah.
You'll probably never get exhibited anywhere anyway, because you're probably doing other things in your film that they wouldn't agree to. That is the way I think you're right. I think they will price that in. We are making a film about the South China Sea. We will have to show a map. We are going to show this map, and therefore it will not be able to play in these locations. That's just going to be the reality of it.
Do you think I was about to say it out loud, and then I realized how silly it's going to sound. So I'm just going to assume that we're on the same page. So I guess just buckle up for many more of these very particular, stupid, divisive background issues on mainstream global releases.
Possibly, yeah. Or it becomes normal to be like, oh, that's not, why is that not showing in Vietnam? Oh, because they used a 9 dash map. Oh, why is that not going to show in China? Oh, because they use the more complicated map. That'll just become a reality. But if tensions keep raising there, it's going to become a bigger and bigger deal. I wouldn't put it past some country at some point to say, you should have shown a map and you didn't. And you should have shown our map and now we're not going to give you a license. It's just that's the way that direction of that conversation seems to be going.
Incentives are aligned such that I only expect to see more of this stuff, which means more free content for you and me, Tom.
That's right. Which means we'll have more ways to tell you what to watch in Under Surveillance.
I'm not here to say it's all about location.
A lot of you have been following the trials and travails of Dan Harmon's animated series Crapopolis over the years, and it's finally ready to premiere. It's coming to you on Fox Sunday, September 24th, after a special NFL doubleheader. So there'll be two NFL football games and then the premiere of Crapopolis. After that, it'll settle into a regular time of 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific every Sunday. If you don't recall, this is an animated series set in ancient Greece. The log line is, it tells the story of a dysfunctional family of humans, gods, and monsters trying to run one of the world's first cities while also trying their best not to kill each other in the process. All-star cast, so Hannah Waddingham of Ted Lasso fame, Richard Ayoade, Matt Berry, Pam Murphy, Duncan Trussell, all doing the voices. Highly anticipated, Brian.
I'm into it. I'm here for it. I assume that the linking of the launch to sports events is less because they think that's the target demographic and more because that's when the eyeballs will be on the screen.
Oh, it's a lead-in. Yeah, because The Simpsons will be the lead-in after that. So, it's just wanting to have a large number of viewers around who might leave the TV on.
I am a bit surprised that have we seen a preview or trailer for this yet? Or are they... I know that a lot, it takes a while to draw a cartoon, as we've learned from Rick and Morty.
Yeah. There was no trailer with this announcement. No.
Yeah.
Variety reports that Hulu will launch a sub-brand focused on animation called Animayhem. So this is the Adult Swim of Hulu, basically. Hulu has American Dad, Bob's Burgers, Family Guy, forthcoming new season of Futurama, King of the Hill. So those consistently rank among the platform's top 10 shows based on hours streamed. I think they looked at that and said, we should lean into that. Hulu hosts about 46 adult animated series that will be part of this hub.
So previously, I was able to reduce the entire Hulu versus Disney Plus challenge to a very simple example of FX is The Shield, about a corrupt cop who murders people, and versus the Disney Empire's reputation. But then if you asked me about an animated show with adult themes, it would have gotten... It suddenly becomes more complicated for me to know whether or not instantly it would have gone in the Hulu bucket or the Disney Plus bucket. We've had people write in, talk about how Disney Plus should totally do rated R stuff. And in fact, there are some series that have mature themes in Disney Plus stuff. But this seems to be, part of the sorting hat of the divvying up between Hulu and Disney Plus.
Yeah, and I doubt they're going to pull Simpsons from Disney Plus. They'll probably leave it over there and some of these other animated titles. But I think what they're going to focus on is if you don't know what Hulu is, it's a lot of things. It's sports, because you can have ESPN Plus built in, and also you could get Hulu Live. It's animation. It's it's the Animayhem hub, and they'll show lots of Futurama, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers clips, Simpsons, etc. So I think they didn't even mention Simpsons in this article. They might not even be leaning on Simpsons. They may be leaning on all this other stuff. But I think they're trying to use that to test the waters of the identity of Hulu. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. And, to be honest, I can't think of anything better to try to kind of divvy everything up.
What if this is a way to turn Hulu into the Fox brand? Like, these animation shows are major to Fox and to FX, where we're constantly talking about what should happen with Hulu. It would make sense to me to say, okay, Hulu is now all these Fox things, and that's worthy of keeping it out of Disney Plus.
Except Disney doesn't own the Fox brand.
I know there was some amount of Fox.
It was 20th Century Fox is what they acquired.
So here's why it's confusing.
Yeah.
Fox is a separate company. They own Tubi. They own the Fox Network, Fox News, Fox Weather, FS1, FS2, local channels, that's it. Disney owns Fox Studios, which is now just called 20th Century Studios, not 20th Century Fox Studios. And those studios make a lot of the shows that air on Fox, like Simpsons, Family Guy, King of the Hill, Bob's Burgers, etc. So unless Disney were thinking they could buy Fox, which I don't think Murdoch is going to do, they wouldn't want to brand it as Fox, but they might want to do everything but brand it as Fox, because they can, they do own FX and they can keep the FX name.
Yeah. Because they're doing that with FX. Like, yeah. They're just FX shows and Hulu are just like, yeah, they're synonymous now.
Also, I think worth noting, was it 14 years ago that Hulu originally launched, or 15 years ago as a competitor for, it was, as we've talked about on the show before, it was essentially a fake competitor to YouTube that was a placeholder. But now, like, there are 23-year-old adults who are making decent money who have never, ever known a time that Hulu wasn't a major, major brand name. And maybe that alters things. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they can just keep calling it Hulu, but it does everything else you were talking about, Bryce, where it's like, it's the Fox brand, although Fox may have issues with that if they're, you know, trying to hang their brand on these same shows when they're available first. So, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder. Mm.
Although Fox has continued to let Hulu show next day air of Fox shows. I wonder how long they will want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Fox doesn't otherwise have a streaming service.
Not without logging in with your cable. You can go to the Fox app, log in with your cable subscription and watch stuff, or you can go to Hulu. Those are your two options.
Interesting.
Yeah. Apple continues to give out free samples. It's like the Swiss colony of TV shows. Silo's first episode went on Twitter before the finale of that series. Talked about that last week. And with Foundation returning July 14th for season two, the first episode of season one is available for free on YouTube now.
So, Tom, the very first episode of Silo I thought was quite good. And you know what? I thought the very first episode of Foundation was quite good. How many more first episodes can they, outside of Ted Lasso, can they get away with on this?
That's a good question. It isn't, these aren't the only two they've ever done. I think Apple is just making it a policy to release a free first episode somewhere when a show either premieres or is about to have a finale, or basically when it needs a promotional push, they'll release a free first episode.
This is one of those things where I feel like it's a self-regenerating wellspring that can go forever, because I don't feel like anything was taken away from me by, you know, the release of this first episode with Foundation or with Silo or what have you, because I already have them and I know these are wonderful shows, although I stopped watching Foundation. But you don't want to do that too much, because at some point it's like, why are you paying for the service if everything comes out for, if right. Severance these, is these out
only,
for free?
I think if it's only first episodes, nobody gets upset. If it starts to be more, then yeah, you start to wonder, well, am I paying for it? And Apple's not the only one that does this. All the streamers, even Netflix, has put like first episodes up on YouTube. So it is pretty common.
Yeah, we were talking about how Andor, as they got near the season finale, they released the first episode on broadcast television on ABC.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Finally, Deadline reports that Jennifer Garner will return to play Elektra, the role she portrayed in the 2003 movie version of Daredevil and the spinoff movie Elektra. This time, Garner will be playing Elektra in Deadpool 3 with Ryan Reynolds. Also, Monday, they released a picture of Reynolds and Hugh Jackman on the set of Deadpool 3 with Jackman in the yellow 90s Wolverine mutant suit.
Can we take a brief sojourn, take an exit here? We'll spend just a quick pit stop.
I'll turn on the turn signal. We'll make sure the lane's clear. And
are we about fed up with multiverses and everybody's in everything and everything is everywhere all at once?
Yeah. I read this article. I'm so glad you mentioned this. I read this article and it mentioned Patrick Stewart showing up as Professor X in one of the Marvel movies, as kind of a Easter egg, fun, you know, little reveal. And I remember how excited I was at the moment I saw that versus how excited I am at the possibility of more of that. And I think I am. I thought it was just me. I thought it was like, yeah, my interests are waning. I'm interested in different stuff. I'm getting older. Maybe I'm just tired. But yeah, maybe the bloom is off the rose on the thing that nobody ever does now that everybody does it all the time.
Like, I don't mind all of the crossover stuff. I don't mind, you know, actors who played somebody coming back and all that stuff. What I do mind, I'm just a little bit fatigued with the wink and a nod. And the worst is the bow they take for themselves at it. Cordkillers@gmail.com. Maybe you and I are alone on this. But what about you, Bryce? Where are you at? Are you worn down by all of the... of it all?
I mean, I already wasn't into it. Like Civil War, right? In the idea of like, oh, now Spider-Man's going to be in one of the big fights. Like, you don't get me excited by saying these characters are in this movie and oh, isn't it? So, like, I already wasn't into that to begin with. It actually feels more like they're leaning into something they were already doing for fans who really like that kind of thing.
If I'm hearing you correctly, Bryce, it sounds like you're saying, old men, I hated this way before it was cool.
Or maybe it's not just because you're old. It's it's just tiring.
No, yeah, I'm just saying, like, yes, I've had that complaint for a minute.
I think it's about time that it's not that you shouldn't do these kind of multiverse things. I think they can still be great for storytelling, but they aren't enough on their own. I think that's what all three of us are agreeing with, is just saying, hey, I brought in an unexpected character and a multiverse thing. It's Jennifer Garner doing Elektra, is not enough to get me really excited. It has to be in service of a really good story, like the Spider-Man animated series, which is chock full of those kinds of things, but what people talk about is just how good of a story it is.
Yeah, I guess maybe the dividing line for me is you can do it, but don't wink at the camera or bow or
don't
send out press releases.
This is the amazing thing. You do it, and it's like, oh, I'm glad they did that because there was a really cool part of the story.
Right. There are many moments where it's like, you know, I'll elbow one of my kids and I'll say, like, that's the guy from The Thing. This is a sly reference to another thing. Like, do that all day long. But this whole, like, because of the multiverse thing is, I'm kind of...
Granted, we're talking about Deadpool here. I mean, he's the one who's
he's the meta maniac.
I'm actually more excited about the Jennifer Garner thing and the Hugh Jackman suit, because I know it won't just be like, hey, look, we put Hugh Jackman in the yellow suit. There'll be a whole bit around it that will address the exact conversation we're having right now, if I know the Deadpool franchise well enough, and it's still as good as it used to be.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about what we've had our eyes on. Brian, what you've been watching?
I've gotten very hungry after multiple laps through I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. I finally took Justin Robert Young's advice, and I'm watching Detroiters. I'm two episodes in. This show is great. I am enjoying it. It's not just methadone, I Think You Should Leave. It is a great show in and of itself. It is more traditional. It has a consistent narrative. I am cautiously entertaining the possibility that it might end up being something that I like even more than I Think You Should Leave, which is saying a lot. Ooh. But it's a great, great show.
Where do you watch it?
I just bought it.
Oh, it's on. You shouldn't have done that. It's on Paramount Plus.
I shouldn't have done that. I should have used your account, Tom, on Paramount Plus.
It's your account.
It's you know what? It belongs to our patrons at patreon.com/.
Yeah, it doesn't belong to them.
That's actually right. It's being paid for out of the company account. But Detroiters, because you, by the way, just so people know, Brian is not using my Paramount Plus account. He can't. I have Paramount Plus attached to my Apple TV ID. He is using an account that we pay for out of the Court Killers amount. Anyway, Detroiters. I might have to do that.
I think you would like it quite a bit, and I would like to talk to you about it. And if you watch one, I think you're going to gobble up three pretty quickly.
Are they the half hours?
Fake half hours, you know, with ad breaks, right, 20-something minutes.
Okay. I finally started watching a new Korean show. For those of you in the audience who do like to hear these recommendations, I know it's been a while since I talked about a new one. This one is available on Netflix. It's in the middle of the season, so you get two episodes every weekend. I think there's eight episodes out right now of a 16-episode run called King the Land. If you liked Business Proposal, if you liked the funny romantic comedy, this is for you. I don't think it's quite as good as Business Proposal, but it's got the same vibe. It's really fun. It's about a woman who gets a job at a hotel, and there is a man who is an heir to the family who runs the cable that runs the hotel, who has to be in charge of her area. And hilarity ensues. Until the thing is done, I don't want to make any more explanations because I'll probably won't do it justice. But there's lots of very funny situations. If you like a romantic comedy and you're into the Korean dramas, go check it out on Netflix. It's called King the Land.
Are there any actors that I would recognize from anything else that we've seen?
Oh, I think probably yes, but I'm blanking on all where the crossovers are. The woman in it was in Big Mouse, but I don't think you ever watched that.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, I'll double check. I'll get back to you and find out if there's any actor crossovers, because I'm sure there are. Bryce, what should we be on the lookout for?
Hey, I got a pick for y'all this week. This is still airing, so there's only three episodes out now, but this is Hijack on Apple TV Plus. We talked a lot about a year or two ago about Bodyguard. You guys remember Bodyguard?
I admire that show a lot. I really enjoyed it.
I get very big Bodyguard vibes from Hijack. The premise of Hijack, and this will be a very mild spoiler only because it's the concept of the show.
It's literally the title of the show. Hey, let me guess, is there a hijacking?
Yeah, Idris Elba's on a plane where there's a hijacking, and it turns out Idris Elba's like the one man who solves problems. And so the fun twist is he goes, hey, terrorists, you're going to get all of us killed, so I'm going to help you successfully carry out your terrorist plot.
I'd rather we all live, because you guys appear to be garbage at this.
That's funny. Okay, I like that.
Yeah. It's interesting. You still don't kind of get a lot. You're not told like, oh, Idris, he's his character or whatever. It's not like he's a trained bodyguard and he's got this background. It's very much just like he fixes things, and it leaves this very heavy ambiguity to his character. Of what are his motivations? Like he says he just wants to get this over with, but is it to good ends? Is it to bad ends? What is he gonna do? It's a long flight. Very cool. I think very, very cool to watch. This is Hijack on Apple TV Plus. There are gonna be seven episodes or so, and it looks like they come out on Tuesdays. So or Wednesdays.
Is this one of those where I should hold off or jump in immediately? Like, do you feel like this has a chance of, if I'm buying stock in this, is this going to be part of the cultural gestalt?
I would start watching now, partly because it's halfway through the season already, and it will probably take me, if you're a slow watcher, maybe it would take you a bunch of time to get through it.
Okay.
I'm excited. I, funny enough, I didn't realize until I started this bit that there are only three episodes out. I thought it was all out. But yeah, Hijack on Apple TV Plus. Tom, are you watching Hijack? Are you going to get into Hijack?
I have not started watching it yet, but you're not the first person to tell me it's good.
Yeah, well, so I'm the latest. Tom already knew,
so I
Bryce.
I need you, Bryce.
Yeah, good job, Bryce.
I meant that to validate Bryce, Brian, to be like, you know what? You're right. A lot of people are in the same
thing. He's slow on the uptake, Bryce, but you know what? He can sniff them out.
Hey, man, everybody should tweet out how Bryce was late to Hijack using a brand new computer by going to doghousesystems.com/rogue. Spell it right. R-O-G-U-E. Keep us in business because we need their computers. Please don't take them back, Doghouse Systems.
Please don't.
Also, what else are you doing on that computer, Brian?
You know what? I have some big, big announcements, but they're just around the corner, so I can't do them yet.
Have you heard that Android Faithful is coming back? I mean, it's new. It's a show that never existed and is premiering tomorrow.
What?
Are we breaking news?
No, I mean, it's not. No, I've mentioned
news,
this elsewhere.
News.
Listen. All I will say, Brian, is if you like to hear Ron Richards
and I know him.
Wen, Tui Dao, ooh, talk all about Android on a podcast.
All about Android.
Yeah. All kinds of things about Android. You can get that at the time you might normally expect that, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/gooddayinternet, or just as a podcast, which you can find all the details about at androidfaithful.com.
Is there anything maybe ever so slightly tickling at breaking newsy that you could say about this show?
Nope.
Too bad.
That was all the things that I can say about the show.
I guess I'll have to wait and experience it.
Indeed.
You have to wait for some news to come out.
July 11th.
I'll have to wait July for 11th, some news. This is the news. Yeah.
Go check it out. Let's move on to the front lines.
Front lines.
Bloomberg sources say that over the past several weeks, Amazon CEO Andy Jassy asked for detailed budget analyses from its Hollywood studio for its original content. In 2022, Amazon spent $7 billion on original content, licensed shows, and sports. That was up 40% year over year. In the past 9 months, Amazon released 4 series that cost more than $100 million to produce, but failed to crack Nielsen's top 10 most watched streaming list.
Man, I know we don't have much time to explore this, but it's like Amazon is in the weirdest place because people buy a fulfillment service in order to appreciate the content. So it kind of doesn't matter if the content is a loss leader. I don't know.
You can buy Prime Video without the shipping service, but it's like not... It's a weird thing to be like, I want to watch Amazon shows, but I don't want to get free shipping because it's not that much more to just go ahead and get the free shipping, which also gives you Kindle Unlimited and all this other stuff.
I think something that Bryce actually said at some point. Like you gave up on the free shipping.
Yeah, I didn't want the free shipping. I never used it. And now I don't have Amazon Prime. So
you could pay for Prime Video, but my guess is if you did that, you'd be like, well, how much more is the shipping?
Exactly. But because even if this is a loss leader, I've got some things that I'm interested in, but clearly not enough to get me over the edge.
To get you back in?
So, yeah. Is it really leading to loss? I don't know.
I mean, maybe not for you.
Meanwhile, the first 5 episodes of The Witcher Season 3 have arrived on Netflix as of June 29th. Samba TV estimates around 1.1 million people in the U.S.
That's a lot of people. Yeah.
Watched it. I mean, that is, I mean, it is 15% less than watched the return of season 2.
Ooh.
Also, of the 1.1 million, 500,000 made it all the way to episode 5.
Ouch. That's like half.
For people who don't have the video version, that's the graph
And this is with wrong. Henry Cavill. So it's not the thing that changed. This is the last time you get to see Henry Cavill as The Witcher.
So do you think just the reputation, just everybody sniffed out that it's going to change anyway, and I'm going to give up later anyway, so might as well preemptively do an emotional divorce now?
I think there was a little bit of that, a little bit. Certainly with me, there was a little bit of, I'm not as excited because I know that it's going to change. And that hasn't prevented me from watching it, but it definitely contributed to me delaying watching it. And I would combine that with the fact that I'm not getting a lot of buzz from people saying, oh, I watched The Witcher. You have to watch it. It's so good. I'm getting from like Veronica Belmont, my co-host on Sword and Laser, when does The Witcher come out? And I'm like, oh, it already came out. She's like, really? Oh, wow, cool. Then I didn't hear anything else about it. So I think it's a combination of things.
Yep.
Could it be that it's only a half season also? It's not a
There's
full
that
season.
Too. That but could be not, playing into it.
It's not week
maybe I'll
week.
Just wait till the whole thing is out. Yeah. And I'll watch
it's yeah. kind of like a death by a thousand cuts where it's like, it's all the things you don't want to hear about a show that you like. The lead actor is leaving. It's only half of a season.
Yeah.
Why did he leave? Also, nobody's talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally, Disney Plus announced several originals coming out of Asia on August 9th. Moving will come to Disney Plus. It's based on a webtoon about people with superpowers on the run from the government. There's a mysterious assassin involved. The Worst of Evil, set in 1990s Seoul, about a rural police officer that is recruited to help bring down a drug gang that's trying to push a brand new mysterious drug. Dragons of Wonder Hatch, a fantasy anime set in a land where dragons and humans coexist, and a documentary about the group BTS called BTS Monuments Beyond the Star, which promises never-before-seen footage and interviews and things like that.
So how many of these are you personally, like, really excited about, Tom?
The BTS one.
Okay.
Yeah. The other ones look interesting. I might end up watching them. I'll wait till someone like Eileen tells me, like, oh yeah, The Worst of Evil. I'm hearing great things.
You know what? I think we'll save it for another time, but I think you're onto something. I think that I know there's a world of international content that I would love very, very deeply, but what I need is a trusted guide to bring me to it. And you know, we've done here on this program experiments with the, was it 25, 21?
Yeah.
That was a very fun experience, but ooh, is it tough to leap over that divide, just not knowing if what you're going to see you'll understand or not.
And that was one where I just loved how they told the story and I knew you'd appreciate it, but it wasn't necessarily the kind of story you like. Whereas
Squid Game.
This moving based on a webtoon about people with superpowers on the run from the government. I'm like, okay, that sounds like the kind of story he would like, but how well was it executed, right? So that's when I go to things like, oh, I bet you'd like Uncanny Counter. I bet you'd like shows like that. I think you'd like Mr. Queen, actually.
Well, just to put a button on it, this is something we've talked about multiple times before is, oh boy, am I hungry for a content curator. I want a guide.
I want
a DJ, a VJ to explain to me why I should like these things and try them on.
All right, let's get to the dispatches from the front. We received so many excellent emails this week, lots of great recommendations for shows we might want to watch on Spoiler in Time, lots of news items, many of which you've heard us include in the show, some topics that we either talk about or will talk about in After Talk. None of those, however, fit at the end of the show here. So we want to put out the call again for interesting questions that are sort of thought-provoking. Maybe they could even turn into segments in the main show. Certainly things that we can deal with. Ask us questions, cordkillers@gmail.com. You remember, we did a really good one back in January. Norm Fizikas sent us an email about what's a show you'd want to watch but haven't had a chance to watch. What's a show you've seen before but want to watch again? That kind of stuff. So I we're putting out the call. Give us some Q&A. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Make sure to put the word evergreen, because if we burn through all of the emails and they end up in other segments, because again, you guys bring us all the best cutting edge, you know, recommendations and news and so on. But if you want, if on a week like this, there's nothing left at the end, just I do a search for the word evergreen and put it in there, which, by the way, going back, looking at this email from Norm again, he makes the audacious claim that he doesn't understand why people don't like The Big Lebowski. You're crazy. I've shown it to my daughters and they agree. It's great. And you're insane.
So there you go. Do you want Brian to call you insane? Send us an email, cordkillers@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Of course, you can find us on our website, cordkillers.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. We're live on Twitch, twitch.tv/nightattack, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We will talk to you next time.
Hey, Tom Merritt, what's going on?
I'm just hanging out here watching this scroll go by. What are you doing?
Trying to set up a bit where we thank our beautiful, beautiful patrons, all these wonderful names.
I'm sorry, I'm too distracted looking at these beautiful, beautiful patron names going by. Look at that one. I mean, if you wanted to be one of these people, patreon.com/cordkillers would be the place to go.
I mean, they're scratching our itch, like, because we're addicted.
As long as it's consensual, like,
we're addicted to their money.
And love. Might as well face it.
Well, God damn it.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.